Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Well, thank you so much for staying with us. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu yesterday gave a rare interview to international media. This was obviously part of his plan to outline his plans to go into the Gaza Strip and, well, the many, many definitions on what exactly he wants to do, but to take full control of the Gaza Strip. On the line with us is the director of Israeli Committee Against House Demolitions, Professor Jeff Halper. Thank you so much once again for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Thanks. It's good to be back.
Just checking in on how the mood is in Israel, you know, especially from the families of the hostages. We obviously saw yesterday the press briefing given by the Prime Minister of Israel. And we have been, from our side, seeing images of a lot of protests on the ground. Is it that prevalent?
Extremely. I mean, it's really amazing. I mean, I've never seen the country come together. Unfortunately, it has nothing to do with Gaza itself. The situation there, the people, the political issue, it all has to do, of course, with the hostages and potential soldiers that might get killed. But nevertheless, it's wall to wall, you know, except for Netanyahu's, you know, hardcore base of maybe 25% of the Israeli public. Everybody's against this. I mean, more than 70% of Israelis are against this move of invading Gaza, mainly because, like I said, the fear of the hostages and soldiers. But you know, you add to that the military. You know, add to that all the intelligence services. You know, the business community, the labor movement is against it. There's going to be a general strike on Monday. In other words, not, and then of course the international community. So really, it's wall to wall, and this all boils down to a very weird situation of Netanyahu himself.
And how long then will this strategy work for him politically?
Well, that's the problem. It is working for him politically. You know, he's beholden to, you know, these far right parties. We always talk about Smotrich and Ben-Gvir of the hard right as if they keep pulling him to the right and he'd rather be more reasonable, he'd rather be more centrist, he'd rather not invade, he'd rather negotiate. That's not true. What's coming across more and more today is people are really getting to, because people are trying to understand here in Israel what in the hell's going on, what is motivating him, and it's turning out that, you know, it's not simply political calculations. He is personally committed. He believes that somehow he's moved to the right, to the hard right himself. He's not being bulled. On the contrary, there are many people who think he's actually kind of pushing Smotrich and Ben-Gvir. And what's really behind that is not only his own movement, but this is really interesting, his family, his wife, and especially his son Yair, that have tremendous pressure over, power over him. And so really we've got, and then of course on the other side you've got Trump, who's absolutely giving him absolute support. So there's no, from his point of view, the political opposition that matters the most, the United States, is completely with him. I mean, Witkoff bows at his knees every time he sees Netanyahu, and he basically accepts whatever Netanyahu says, passes on to Trump, and Trump gives his agreement. So you have that. Plus, again, this very weird influence in his home of his wife and his crazy son, Yair, who lives in Miami, on him as well. So it's really a situation that has nothing to do with policy or rationality or you know, any kind of strategic thinking. It goes against his own government, really, his own military, his own intelligence services. And he's trapped in this little tiny world, but he doesn't care, because his government is stable and because he has Trump on his side.
He gave an interview to Fox in Fox News, and he suggested that Israel did not want to keep the territory. He says, we don't want to govern it, he said. We don't want to be there as a governing body. We wanted to hand it over to the Arab forces. Is the Israeli population buying any of this at all? Or do they even care?
Well, they certainly care. The Israeli public, to tell you the truth, is bemused as anybody else. Nobody has an explanation, again, because there's such tremendous public opinion against what he's doing. Now, it's true that I don't think he wants to conquer Gaza. He wants to do, I think he thinks that somehow beating Hamas will absolve him of all blame of October 7th. You know, he's still got that cloud hanging over him in general, the fail of October 7th. And, of course, the hostages that are liable to die. So, you know, I think he feels that a total victory, as he calls it, will somehow absolve him of all of that. I think that's behind it. But he's rational enough to understand that Israel cannot run Gaza. It can't be responsible for 2.5 million people, the sewage, the feeding them, the school system. You know, Israel just simply can't do that. So his plan, and this has always been the idea of Israel, you do whatever you want to do, and then you pass it on to the international community. Every time Israel's destroyed Gaza, this is not the first time, you have an international conference, and the international donors in Europe, the United States, elsewhere, donate, the Arab world, donate billions of dollars to reconstructing Gaza. And Israel's never, ever asked to pay one penny of that. So Israel is very good at destroying, completely doing whatever he wants to do, thumbing its nose to the international community, because it knows in the end, first of all, it won't be sanctioned. And second of all, somebody else is going to pick up the tab.
So
I think that's what's happening.
I hear you say that, you know, his strategy is working so far. He remains a prime minister. How long, though, do you think he can keep going on this way to protect his political career?
I don't think it's going to last that long. I mean, all the polls show him really weakening. Mm. Ironically, or interestingly, or tragically, whatever, the Likud still leads in the polls. His party is still the largest party, even after all of this, because he's got that solid base. But it's a minority government already. Mm. He won't do well in the next elections. Now, don't think that the opposition is anything to write home about. The opposition is also Likud. They just don't like Netanyahu. There is no left opposition, really, that opposes the policies. Mm. The opposition in Israel supports the policies in Gaza, but not to this point. I mean, they support up to a year ago when it was really a military operation. There was a chance to save the hostages. After that, when it got to be crazy, the opposition pulled its support back. But don't think there'll be a major change in Israeli policy in general towards the Palestinians, even if he's out of office.
So, you said there's a general strike looming. What do they want? What do the people of Israel want?
They want to end the war today and get the hostages back. The phrase is, Netanyahu's always wanted this piecemeal deal with Hamas. That's terrible for the hostages, especially. It just prolongs everything. Now he's willing to have what he calls everything or nothing. In other words, you give us, Hamas, all our hostages back or nothing. We'll destroy Gaza. The Israeli public is saying no. They want everything. They simply want the hostages back and an end to the war, period, and tomorrow.
If they don't want Netanyahu's strategy, do they have thoughts on how it can be done? Because it seems like from what Israel is saying, Hamas is not interested in having a conversation. And do you really believe there's a way out of this without continuing the war?
Well, you know, again, Witkoff is listening to Netanyahu, who of course blames Hamas for this whole stalemate. Mm, mm, mm. And then he goes to Trump, and then Trump blames Hamas. Mm. But the fellow that just resigned, Bachbach, who's a Palestinian-American close to Trump, who was on Witkoff's team, resigned yesterday because this is simply not true. Hamas has been forthcoming and willing to do this. It's Israel that's put up all these blocks.
Yeah.
And so that's I think, the real issue. So the Israeli public just wants it ended. But in other parts of the world today, especially in the United States, it doesn't matter to these politicians what public opinion is. You can get masses out of the streets. I mean, in Israel, you've got hundreds of thousands of people almost every day out in the streets. It doesn't move the government because, again, it's got this stable coalition, at least until the fall, when we'll see what happens. So I don't think Netanyahu will survive. But in the meantime, I guess he feels really he has nothing to lose anymore. And he's just going with what he wants to do.
Jeff, we obviously saw that Israel killed, I think it was about 5 Al Jazeera journalists over the weekend. They promised yesterday that they're going to start letting in international media. We haven't seen that yet. In fact, he said he thought it was already happening. Well, he didn't know that it wasn't already happening. What are the Israeli population seeing on their television screens right now?
They see nothing. Absolutely nothing. And it's been like this for the last almost 2 years, a year and a half or more. They see nothing. It's all they see is you have embedded Israeli journalists, you know, embedded with the Israeli army. So they go in, they're interviewing the soldiers. Do you miss your wife and kids? And how are you feeling? You must be tired. And then they get into a tank and the soldiers show them how they're blowing up terrorists and terrorist infrastructure. That's all they hear. Or, of course, the situation of the hostages. But that's it. There is no coverage whatsoever of Gaza. Now there's become a little bit of issue around the humanitarian aid because it's hard to ignore the fact that hundreds of Palestinians, starving Palestinians, are being killed trying to get access to food. But that's not on it's on the news. It's reported, but you don't see the visuals that you see in South Africa, for example. So the Israeli public, first of all, they're not interested. But beyond that, they simply do not see the destruction that we've done in Gaza.
What are we hearing? Well, what are you guys hearing? We are seeing different reports on how the soldiers are not coping. They're fatigued. They're depressed. And I suppose it's not unique, really, in a conflict zone, but that they are not coping, having come back to those who come back home from Gaza. What reports are you getting around how these soldiers themselves are coping with the situation?
Very little. Again, it's kind of a subject we don't want to get into. It's been reported that it's about more than 30,000 soldiers that are suffering from extreme PTS,
yes.
You know, post-trauma stress.
Yep. Yep.
There's more than 100,000 soldiers that have some kinds of injuries. I mean, this is tremendous. But, of course, you can't really say that because then you're undermining national morale and so on. So people don't really touch it. So the discussion is really – but there is a discussion around how the soldiers are, you know, can't cope. You know, they've been in almost a year and a half, a lot of these soldiers. Israel doesn't have a large standing army. So the big argument is how can we recruit the ultra-Orthodox, who are a big population here, to become soldiers? The ultra-Orthodox are saying, no, we are not going into the army because we're religious and
exempt.
We don't want to be. The army will make us secular.
Yeah.
That's the whole discussion. You know, how do we get the ultra-Orthodox in order to relieve, you know, the corrosion of the army in terms of its mental strength, but not really dealing with the issue? Israel doesn't deal with those issues because they're too threatening. You know, as soon as you admit a crack, something you're doing isn't right, or something is harming your society, whatever, that really, you know, opens this whole Pandora's box about, whoa, wait a minute, if we're wrong doing this little thing or big thing, what else are we wrong about? And that threatens, in Israel, you have to keep a very rigid, you know, have to stay within the box. Because everything else, if you deal with settler colonialism, you deal with Palestinians, you deal with why is Israel being accused of genocide? Israelis don't understand that. Or is it true that we're responsible mainly for starvation or for destroying hospitals? All that are simply things that Israelis can't deal with. It's too threatening. It undermines Zionism. It undermines their self-righteousness, their whole worldview. And so they block it all out. They just simply block it out.
So what's going to stop this war?
I don't know what's going to stop this war, because as long as Trump continues to support it, that's all Israel really needs. I mean, Germany now is halting military aid that's supposed to go to Gaza. There's a lot of international pressures. But you see, the international community itself, with all the international law and diplomacy and everything else, will not sanction Israel. Mm. They'll criticize it. There might be a UN resolution, the ICJ, the ICC, all of that. But nobody's going to sanction Israel. The United States would not allow that. And even Germany. I mean, there's a certain sanction in terms of weapons right now, but they're still buying Israeli weapons. There's Germany, you know, 30% of Israeli weapons are German. You know, so that's not going to end. You know, the arms trade with Britain. Not only that, of course, the arms trade with the BRICS countries that we don't hear about. Not South Africa mainly, but China. India loves what Israel's doing and supports Israel, you know, Modi. Mm-hmm. You know, Brazil has a very active military relationship with Israel. So the BRICS countries, you know, if you ask yourselves, that are supposed to be the alternatives, they're really very quiet. And the Arab regimes, of course, want normalization with Israel. On the contrary, they don't want to break ties with Israel. I mean, their peoples do, but not the governments. Mm-hmm. So Israel feels that, look, as long as you know, there's no sanctions, this isn't really disrupting our military industry, it isn't really threatening our diplomatic relations, you know, we can live with the criticism.
Well, thank you so much for that. It's always wonderful talking to you, just to be close to what exactly is happening on the ground.
Always an up, isn't it?
Thank you. Thank you very, very much. The Director of Israeli Committee Against House Demolitions, Professor Jeff Harper, there giving us an update from Israel, just giving us a sense of what the mood is like on the ground as we've been watching ourselves, what's happening in Gaza, and obviously those visuals, really disheartening. But yeah, here we are.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.